Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from the Old Testament book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Joshua 1, beginning with verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and cross over the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn away from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. As you can tell, we've jumped from the New Testament. We finished up the book of Ephesians last week and have come now back to the Old Testament for a series of lessons. I'd like to take the book of Joshua as our text for as many lessons as it takes. But I want to emphasize this morning by way of introduction to this book, its namesake, the man Joshua. Joshua is a unique character in the scriptures, and I think sometimes we overlook his significance. We're going to see that Joshua was the servant of Moses initially, but the characteristics of this young man, as he's described in the book of Exodus, the characteristics of this young man are quite remarkable and I think significant for us today by way of imitating because of what we face. I have written out on the marquee an excerpt from this particular reading. I have Joshua 1 verse 9 as the particular passage, but it's, "Be strong and courageous and do not be afraid." If you have a hymn book, and I know that this is for those who are either listening to the CD or perhaps listening to this from our website, because right now the auditorium is empty. I am preaching to myself, basically, which is not a bad thing to do. And so you're not going to be hearing anybody cough or sneeze but me. But we are in the midst of having a self-quarantine episode. And so this week and next week, as we post this lesson upon the line online, you'll not be hearing much in the way of audience noise. But for those of you who have a hymn book, turn to 433, and you'll see the significance of it here in just a sec. 433. Be strong and courageous and do not be afraid. The Lord goes with you each and every day. He'll never forsake you. Don't be afraid. He'll never forsake you. Don't be afraid. The Lord goes before you through the trouble and strife, and He will protect you all the days of your life. He'll never forsake you. Don't be afraid. He'll never forsake you. Don't be afraid. It seems that we are living in a particular time of uncertainty because of what's happening to not just our nation, but to the world. And these words ring true, don't they? In whom do we trust? Our God is able to deliver us. And so as we look specifically today at this young man, Joshua, and I want you to first turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 17, where Joshua's name is first spoken in verse 9. So we'll actually start in Exodus 17, verse 8. But I want you to think about the fact that we serve the same God that Moses served, the same God that Joshua served, the same God that the children of Israel depended upon. And the significance of Joshua is astounding with regards to him being a type of Christ. In fact, their names. Joshua is Hebrew for Jesus, which is his Greek name. And it means the Lord saves. And so as we are first introduced to Joshua in the Old Testament here in Exodus chapter 17, we find that the children of Israel are coming up against their enemies, and they need a military leader. So let's begin. Verse 8. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out. Fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hands up that Israel prevailed. When he let his hands down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner," or Yahweh Nissi. And he said, "The Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation." So aside from the Egyptians that God has already put in their place by the exodus of the children of Israel, Amalek or the Amalekites are one of the first enemies that the nation of Israel has to face. But what kind of nation is it? It's not like they've gone through much in the way of an academy for military training. These are slaves. And yet because God is with them, he miraculously delivers them as long as Moses keeps his hands held up through the leadership of Joshua. What does the Lord have in store for this nation of Israel? The promised land. That which he had guaranteed to their forefathers, to Abraham, when he said, "To your seed, I will give this land wherever your foot falls." So Joshua and Moses are in the midst of fulfilling promises, and Joshua, as a young man, is already one that can be depended upon. and Amalek falls. And it's not until the time of King Saul, hundreds of years later, found in 1 Samuel chapter 15, that this prophecy of the Amalekites being totally wiped out is ultimately fulfilled. But what do you see in Joshua? What's his character? He's courageous, isn't he? He's a soldier. He is one who is, while leading a bunch of untrained former slaves, is willing to have faith in God and in his master Moses. He's often called the servant of Moses. And he is willing to allow God to use him in whatever way he sees fit. And in the process, they mow down this nation of the Amalekites. God is our flag, Yahweh Nissi. God is our banner. Jehovah is our standard by which we pledge our allegiance, or to which we pledge our allegiance. Would it do us well today to have such a character? To be like Joshua, courageous and strong? Be strong and courageous and do not be afraid. The Lord goes with you each and every day. He will never forsake you. A courageous soldier, Joshua. But we also see after this particular event that Joshua is one who seems to almost be in Moses' shadow on a regular basis. There's a couple of incidents, one from Exodus 24, verse 12, and then another one a wee bit later from chapter 32, where it talks about Joshua accompanying Moses. This is a significant event that Joshua is by Moses' side. 24, verse 12 of Exodus. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and remain there, and I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses arose with Joshua, his servant, and Moses went up to the mountain. Now, we don't have the fact that Joshua goes up to the mountain, at least not to the top of it, along with Moses, but it's almost as if he accompanies him. Maybe he goes halfway up. We just don't know how far he goes. He goes further than the elders went, as you can see a little bit later. And then after Moses receives the law, it's Joshua who accompanies him on down to the camp and seems to be as surprised as Moses at what's going on there. So after receiving the law, this is from chapter 32 of Exodus, beginning with verse 15. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, tablets which were written on both sides. They were written on one side and the other. The tablets were God's work, and the writing was God's writing, engraved on the tablets. Now when Joshua heard the sound of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a sound of war in the camp." But he said, "It is not the sound of the cry of triumph, nor is it the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing that I hear." And so we have Joshua in Moses' shadow, both coming and going on Mount Sinai. What's the significance of that? Well, he is in the shadow, certainly, and it's not to him that attention has been given, but there is Joshua being allowed by Moses and by God to witness the workings of God in his master, Joshua's master, Moses. We would call this an apprenticeship, wouldn't we? Moses is mentoring Joshua. And it's not without God's approval. If you'll remember, whenever God said, "Write it down that Amalek is going to be destroyed as a nation, so that Joshua will know that this is going to happen," it's significant because God is basically saying this will be relevant for Joshua to look back on as he, and the implication is, leads the people of God, that God will destroy his enemies. As he did at Rephidim, God will ultimately totally destroy the Amalekites, and I want Joshua to know that that day is coming, though Joshua himself, we know from history, did not experience it. That was for King Saul to do, perhaps as much as 500 years later, not quite that much, but close. So here we find Joshua not only in the first part courageous as a soldier, but compassionate as a servant. He loves his master. He's one that wants to be there when Moses is in need. And I think this is a real neat instance or a mark of that. Turn now to chapter 33. Just go to the next chapter, chapter 33 of Exodus. In this passage, we normally emphasize the part where God speaks to Moses face to face, which is a very important part. But notice what else is recorded here for us, specifically about Joshua. Verse 11, Exodus 33. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Now, after Moses comes down off the mountain, he still has conversations with God. He's received the Ten Commandments on the tablets of stone, but there are more than 600 commandments that God gives to the people. And so there was in the camp a tent of meeting where God would come down and speak with Moses like one would speak face to face. Who's standing outside the tent? Guarding it, if you will. It's Moses' servant, Joshua, the son of Nun. In fact, he will not depart. Does he love his master? Oh, you know he does. And we know that Joshua, it says here, is a young man. How old is Joshua? Well, we know once they go through the wilderness and get to the banks of the Jordan and travel into the land of Canaan as spies, Joshua and Caleb being ones that were selected to do that. Joshua as a representative of his tribe, which is Ephraim. Caleb a representative of his tribe, which is Judah. We know that those 12 spies, only two of them proved true, namely Joshua and Caleb. The others turn against the plan of entering into the promised land because they say the cities are fortified, the people are giants, there's no way we can have any success against them. Caleb later on records for us that it has been 45 years since the time that they went in as spies. And so we know that there has been 40 years of punishment where God said every one of this older generation from 20 years and upward will die. Only Joshua and Caleb will get to enter into the land. Caleb records for us that has been a 45-year time span since the time that they proved faithful, he and Joshua, and the wilderness wanderings. And then as they get ready to go into the promised land, in fact, they're already conquering a little bit in the promised land when those numbers or that particular number is recorded by Caleb. But he said it's been 45 years. So Joshua, at the end of the book of Joshua, we're going to cheat just a little bit and jump ahead. At the very end of the book of Joshua, it says that he was 110 when he dies. We have a 45-year period in which there's wilderness wanderings in the very early part of the entering into the land of Canaan and its conquering. I want to just suppose perhaps Joshua, even though he's described here in Exodus 33, verse 11, as a young man, that he's probably in the neighborhood of being 40 years old. And that appears awfully young to me now. But if he was 40 years old and then they have 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, he's in his 80s, perhaps as old as 85, by the time he becomes the military leader that marches into the land of Canaan, crosses the Jordan with the Ark of the Covenant, marches in and conquers what he can and what the children of Israel are willing to do. And perhaps he has a time span of as much as 30 years in his conquering that he does. He does die 10 years earlier as far as age than Moses. Moses was 120 when he died. But there are some striking similarities between how God is, at least according to age, working with these men, because Moses was 40 years old when he leaves the palace. He is in the pasture as one working as a son-in-law for Jethro as a shepherd. for 40 years before he voices to Pharaoh, let my people go. And then his final 40 years is in the wilderness. And of course we know that he strikes the rock rather than speaking to it as God commanded. And so God even forbids him from that generation of going into the land of promise. But do you see any similarities? They're not exact. But here is Joshua possibly beginning in his service at age 40, having been a slave while Moses was a son of Pharaoh. Joshua was a slave. Joshua has experienced 40 years in the wilderness, whereas Moses was in the pasture. And both of them at age 80 approximately, and I'm not saying you have to hold fast and true to this, but both of them at age 80 are ready to serve the Lord as leaders of the people. What are we ready to do at age 80? You say, well, I'm not living to be 120 either. I think what we can see is there is a long process of 40 years in the wilderness that makes Joshua the man that he is by the time that he's ready to assume the leadership role of the children of Israel. He's already proven himself to be courageous and strong as a soldier. He's proven himself to be a compassionate servant of his master, Moses, even defending his honor from time to time, coming to his aid and saying, I'm not sure that I would take that off the people, whereas Moses kind of puts him in his place and says, that's for the Lord to decide. And then whenever he and Caleb go into the promised land as spies, he proves himself set apart as a man that can be trusted, committed. We might even call him a saint in the sense that he walks as God would have him to, even in the midst of the most trying of times. Whenever the other 10 and the people reject going into the land of Canaan at that moment, it says that Joshua and Caleb rent their clothes. They tore their robes in Numbers 14 and verse 6. He set a standard, hasn't he? And lived up to it, of being one who would be faithful to God. And when we get to the end of this book, not only will we see that the time of his death was 110, but also he commissions the people to make a choice as he is about to leave this world of who they will serve. What can we learn from Joshua as a soldier, as a servant, as a saint? Aren't we called to be the same? Aren't we to be soldiers of the cross, to be strong and courageous, to face whatever trials or enemies come our way in the name of the Lord and allow the Lord to deliver us? The Apostle Paul was such a man, wasn't he? He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2, but though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the face of great opposition. Satan will assault us in any way possible to discourage us. Our bodies, our culture, our allegiances. But Paul says, you have seen what kind of man I am. Like Joshua, he was strong and courageous. Compassionate as servants. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 11, he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. Paul says simply to the Galatians in chapter 6, verse 10, so then as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Courageous, compassionate, and committed. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. What is this life for? What is the cause for which we fight? What is the hope that we all share? In Joshua's time, it was the promised land, the crossing of the Jordan, the conquering of the Canaanite tribes, be able to live in cities and reap harvests from fields that they had not built or planted. God's promises fulfilled because of Joshua's courageous, compassionate commitment. So too with us, as Paul was telling Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Soldiers, servants, saints, sanctified, set apart to do that which is the will of God. One of the reasons that Joshua, it's recorded for us in Numbers chapter 27 and verse 18, was appointed by God and commanded through Moses to be set apart was because God says, here is a man full of the Spirit, with whom resides the Spirit. Be strong, courageous, and don't be afraid. The Lord goes before you each and every day. He'll never forsake you. Thank you for your time.